GetWarriorTough.com. Now we've got Andrew Whitman from GetWarriorTough.com who's joining us on the program. Andrew, what's up, my man?
You, buddy, bringing the thunder.
Oh, man, I love it.
Off the top rope, dropping the elbow. It's like WWE over here.
That's right. I'm basically the pile driver of Sports Talk Radio. I like that. That's good stuff. I got to say, I'm excited to hear or see. I was out last night until very late. And so I'm excited to see on YouTube, because we love the Andrew Whitman YouTube channel, the show from last night. What did we miss last night on Get Warrior Tough?
Well, what you missed last night was there was a power outage in New York. So they
Whoa.
Ran the first show. So
unbelievable.
The studio went down, man. So you'll have to tune in again next week to find out what you missed. But, yeah, so it's, nothing happened. Dutch and I don't say they took the day off because we were ready to go, and then the power, so we couldn't control it.
Unbelievable. Man, it's weird how that happens. God works in mysterious ways. I keep saying that. We've got a number of very random topics. I want to go to this first. We've been talking about this Cam Newton thing, and I saw yesterday where people keep asking him about his statements about being an African-American quarterback, and it scares people because nobody's seen anything like him. And I've said that you can, based on the way that's written, you can perceive different things with that. And one of the things that bothers me about it, Andrew, just from a mentality standpoint, from a perception standpoint, is that people paint with a broad brush. And so he basically just painted everybody into a corner saying, if you don't like me, it's because I'm black and you're scared of me and you've not seen anything like me before. And we talked about yesterday how there are so many other ways that people have done that. I just have a problem with painting with a broad brush. But that seems to be sort of our bent as people. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, that's what we tend to do. This is why we talk so much in the Get Warrior Tough process of separating facts from truth. And so that's his truth. And I like having my truth, too, right? That's my perception. So I allow people to have their truth, but really we need to seek the facts of the behavior and take the truth out of it. That's why in a courtroom, right, what gets entered into evidence is fact. But the witnesses swear to tell the truth, and we know that the facts are way more reliable than the witnesses, because witnesses are completely unreliable. So it's their perception. And so I like to kind of give people a pass, because I like to get a pass myself when I find myself operating in truth. All right, so I'm going to give him the opportunity to own his. He can have his truth. That's totally cool. And I'm not going to get offended once I recognize that's his truth. That's not necessarily the fact, but it's his truth and his perception of it. So when you separate those two things out, I don't get offended. I just understand he's located himself, and that's where he's living. And everybody does this with their truth. When I say everybody, I literally mean that, just a human machine. But when we say things like always and all the time, these are truths. And so when you understand that, then you take some of the sting out of it, and let's move it over to the fact column. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And it kind of, I guess it kind of informs why when people kept pressing him on it yesterday, he kind of got annoyed by it, because he understands, I think, that maybe his comments were perceived in a way that he maybe didn't even intend. And I've said this before, the difference between a period and a comma in that sentence, the way it's transcribed by somebody, the way it's quoted by somebody, is huge. And in my opinion, that's exactly what you're talking about between truth and fact, because the fact is how he meant to say it, how the words came out of his mouth, that's a fact. How we perceived it is our truth. And the truth, the difference in the truth between me and somebody else could be a comma or a period, and the way that changes the meaning of the sentence, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's also whatever you're, I'll say it like this. There's really three components to everything. It's called biopsychosocial. So some of our components is biological. It's the nurture versus nature, right? That's part of your nature is biological. It's a very small piece. It's smaller than the rest of it. Psychological is how we think our thoughts, and then social is how we interact with those around us. So some of us, we take our perception and our truths are based on biopsychosocial, with the biggest piece being psychosocial. So the way we were brought up, the folks that we were around, and our own personal experience, that's where our personal bias comes from, or our truth. So we could hear, and that's why eyewitnesses, we'll see the same exact thing that happened. And when you put eyewitnesses on the stand in the courtroom, like, they weren't even on the same planet. They're like, how could she get through this, right? So this is what happens when you understand that with the machine. It helps kind of ramp us down and allow other people to have their truth, and I'm not going to get offended by it. And maybe I have to take a look and say, am I getting ramped up and offended? Why am I getting offended? Or why is this making me mad? Is it something, you know, of my truth and not factual at all? So I think that's kind of, it really is a good teaching moment for all of us to just kind of take a breath and not be so quick to be a first reactor instead of a first responder. Let's just kind of think about it for a sec.
He is Andrew Whitman from GetWarriorTough.com and the Get Warrior Tough program. You can hear it most Wednesdays when the power's on the Fruited Plain. Exactly right.
Hey, I just got to say, we never lost power when we were at the WCCC Blue Ridge Studios.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. The Generac generator. It keeps us on all the time. I love that. That's a great plug. I like that. Maybe the New York area, we'll call it the area, could use a little Blue Ridge. Get a little Blue Ridge in New York. That's what
they
I'm talking about.
They should. I mean, you know what? I mean, we've never had this problem at WCCC with the Blue Ridge guys. So I'm just saying, should go national.
All right, I want to ask you this, because speaking of national, the Super Bowl, going to be a big national event, and I've got so many questions I could ask you about the Super Bowl, but one thing I keep saying to people, and I don't even know why I'm saying this, okay? I have no idea, but it's just a fact, and it's a fact I can't explain except for maybe that we have a bent toward this. I want to get your thoughts on it. The fact that the Super Bowl is always a very boring game at the start. Like, whatever the number is in the first quarter, take the under, because both teams are feeling each other out. And it's different from any other game. I mean, you go to a conference championship, that's a big game, a conference championship. And maybe, I guess, being in your home venue, maybe that helps one team acclimate better than another. But it's weird that there's such a skew toward a low-scoring game. Is that something in the human condition that our brains really want to take time to gauge our surroundings instead of going full bore when the stakes are this high? Is that something that you see?
Well, yeah, when the stakes are higher, we put that's an internal pressure, right? So that's But interesting enough, though, I'll say this, like 2 years ago when the Broncos were against it was the Seahawks, right?
Yes.
I sat down and had one of my kids and saw him. I said, listen, we're going to know exactly how this game's going to go in the first series. And when the ball was shooting past Peyton Manning into the end zone, I was like, that's it. The game's over. They've already lost mentally. And I saw that with the Patriots game against the Broncos in the AFC Championship. I said, the Patriots are not playing like they want to win this game. The Broncos are. I think you could tell pretty – and it's like that in all the college bowl games, too. You'll come out and you'll see who's ready to go and who isn't. And we're looking for a great game like we did with the national championship with Clemson, Alabama, when there's two tight. And I remember I said this at the time. Now that we saw what great football looks like, we understand how bad of a product is really out there, right? Because it's so rare to see two teams fight it out to the end like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm glad you brought that up, because it does seem like basically in a game like that where you're assuming, and we saw with Seattle a couple of years ago, where you're assuming that the other team is going to come out and kind of be conservative and feel the game out, all you really need is the confidence to be aggressive, right? And you could do that. You could apply that to all walks of life, where if you're just aggressive, if you go after whatever it is that you're going for, that somebody else is going to be just sort of plodding along and trying to take the safe route. Isn't that the case?
It is totally the case. And I see this in sales and business all the time, even in my business. I got to say all my partners, listen, we got to be aggressive. If we're sitting around waiting for orders to come in and we're being order takers, that's a no. We have to be aggressive. We got to go out and get what we want, you know, and go after the thing and act like we really want it. Because no one's beating our door down, and if you're in sales, no one's beating your door down to come solve their problem. I mean, they're just trying to get the noise up. So this is a huge thing in all walks of life. If you have to be aggressive and go after what it is that you want and be relentless in your pursuit of it.
I love it, man. Andrew Whitman, GetWarriorTough.com. A couple of more for you before we let you go. I love that. The Dabo Swinney allure, all right? Yesterday on signing day, I have never once seen a guy in so many different venues, again, wearing the brightest orange blazer you could possibly have. I mean, I turn on the online stream at 8:15 in the morning, and he's up there on the stage talking to people. Then you turn on at 10:30, and he's up there talking to a different crowd. And he's out on ESPN, and he's talking to the people in the national audience. And he's in a different room, and he's talking to ESPN a couple hours later. And then he's at the recruiting wrap-up, and he's talking to a different audience. We talk a lot about perception, and we talk a lot about sort of, I guess, having one voice and my – Dabo Swinney is the face, and he's making sure that he's the face. Brent Venables isn't doing a bunch of interviews out there, and Jeff Scott and Tony Allen aren't doing a bunch of interviews out there. The control he has over the message, because he is such a good messenger, there is a direct correlation with that, right?
Absolutely, and again, everybody stay in their lane. Do the thing that you're great at, okay? This is what he's great at. That's why, again, I think you said in an earlier segment, like, he's not taking over the offense. He's given the keys to the car. He's not taking over the defense. He's given the keys to the car. He's doing the thing that he's great at, and he's letting Brent do the thing that he's great at, and, you know, and the co-coordinators do the things they're great at. And this is what a fantastic world-class championship leader does. They stay in their lane, and they empower their team to be great with. And it is such it's a textbook. If you could just copy what he's doing, whatever, even get the orange jacket. It's the new green for the Masters is out, man. Green jackets are out. The orange jacket's in. Just go get one.
I like that. The orange. I want an orange blazer. You think I can rock an orange blazer? Ricky is saying no, not at all.
Yeah, I know you can, man.
That's what I'm talking about. See, this is why we get Andrew on. Because, Ricky, you're going to give me negative feedback.
It's
going to be negative Nelly
hair
over there. And, Andrew, look, don't worry about that. You let me worry about how it clashes, all right? There are hair dyes out there. I want an orange blazer, and he can't tell me not to. Andrew said it was okay. One more.
You're a trendsetter, man. You're a trendsetter. Well, you're a leader, talking, man.
That's why he has a PhD.
That's right. That's exactly right. One more for you before we let you go. I find it interesting, even in the context of, like, politically, what we see in Iowa, where there's all these accusations of voter fraud, and the people that lost are mad that they lost, and the people that won are saying tough. And then you've got, like, I don't know, just the people complaining about the way other schools recruit. And the fact that we're doing this, you know, in a very short pocket of time where they're back-to-back, I was drawing some comparisons in my brain to Brett Bielema and Donald Trump or Ben Carson and with Ted Cruz and Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh. Are you seeing, are you seeing the same things? Like the sour grapes of people who didn't do quite as well and the people who may have done some things that people don't like to get ahead are saying, guess what, we won. What are your thoughts on this?
Right, and I'm so proud of you, man, because what you're doing is you're looking at this from a mental toughness point of view, and you're seeing that the behaviors are this is a human machine. It doesn't matter whether it's sports or it's politics or it's business or it's in family relationships. You're seeing how the machine works. And so when you're complaining about other people winning, is that helping you or hurting you? Now, if you say someone else cheated, right, does that help you? Why don't you take an assessment? And again, like I said, do what Dabo does, man. You think that he, you know, just do what they're doing to get the results. If you want, because we'd rather complain and say, well, they were lucky or they cheated, they got a good break. Well, that doesn't help you in. But this is what the masses do. It's the average-minded performer, and that's why we call them the masses, because it's the vast majority of folks who will get stuck in that. And it's a victim mentality. In mental toughness, I'm the problem, I'm the solution. If I have a problem, if I didn't win, I'm the problem, but the good news is I'm also the solution. And when you see people cry and they locate themselves, who's going to be? And I'll tell you what: as long as you're complaining, you'll never be the champion. Ever. You'll never go to the national playoffs. You're not going to be in the conversation. We'll talk about you, but you'll never be there because you're complaining and worrying about what other people are doing.
Andrew Whitman, GetWarriorTough.com, sage wisdom in every way, shape, or form that we could possibly require, and so much more, way beyond our expectations, blowing us away every week. Andrew, we so appreciate you joining us. And you know what? I'm going to pray. It's on my prayer list that the power stays on because the people need to see Get Warrior Tough, and they need to feel Get Warrior Tough, and we need that YouTube action during the week.
Well, there's still 90-some-odd videos up there, so you can still go get your fix, man. Well, it's okay if you watch one again.
There's plenty.
Watch them twice.
I'm going to have to do that. I'm doing that today. As a matter of fact, it's on my list. Thanks, Andrew. We appreciate it, my man.
All right, brother. Love you, man.